Now, Sandy.
I came to a stop and swallowed a glass of Shirley's iced tea in four long gulps. That planted an ice pick in the center of my forehead, and I had to wait for it to melt. At some point, Eddie Jacoboy had joined us. He was dressed in his civvies and sitting at the end of the bench, looking both sorry to be there and reluctant to leave. I had no such divided feelings. I was delighted to see him. He could tell his part. Huddy would help him along if he needed helping. Shirley, too. By 1988, she'd been with us 2 years. Matt Bibicki, nothing but a memory, refreshed by an occasional postcard showing palm trees in sunny Sarasota, where Matt and his wife own a learn-to-drive school. A very successful one, at least, according to Matt. Sandy? Ned asked. Are you all right?
I'm fine. I was just thinking about how clumsy Tony was with that video camera, I said. Your dad was great, Ned, a regular Steven Spielberg, but...
Could I watch those tapes if I wanted to? Ned asked. I looked at Huddy, Arky, Phil, Eddie. In each set of eyes, I saw the same thing. It's your call. As of course it was. When you sit in the big chair, you make all the big calls, and mostly I like that. Might as well tell the truth. Don't see why not, I said, as long as it's here. I wouldn't be comfortable with you taking them out of the barracks. You'd have to call them Troop D property. But here? Sure. You can run them on the VCR in the upstairs lounge. You ought to take a Dramamine before you look at the stuff Tony shot, though. Right, Eddie? For a moment, Eddie looked across the parking lot, but not toward where the Roadmaster was stored. His gaze seemed to rest on the place where Shed A had been until 1982 or thereabouts.
I don't know much about that, he said. Don't remember much. Most of the big stuff was over by the time I got here, you know.
Even Ned must have known the man was lying. Eddie was spectacularly bad at it.
I just came out to tell you I put in those 3 hours I owed from last May, Sarge, you know, when I took off to help my brother-in-law build his new studio.
Ah, I said. Eddie bobbed his head up and down rapidly.
Uh-huh. I'm all clocked out, and I put the report on those marijuana plants we found in Robbie Renard's backfield on your desk. So I'll just be heading on home. It's all the same to you.
Heading down to the tap is what he meant, his home away from home. Once he was out of uniform, Eddie J's life was a George Jones song. He started to get up, and I put a hand on his wrist.
Actually, Eddie, it's not.
Huh?
It's not all the same to me. I want you to stick around a while. Boss, I really ought to...
Stick around, I repeated. You might owe this kid a little something.
I don't know what...
His father saved your life, remember? Eddie's shoulders came up in a kind of defensive hunch.
I don't know if I'd say he exactly... Come on, get off it, Huddy said. I was there.
Suddenly Ned wasn't so interested in videotapes.
My father saved your life, Eddie? How?
Eddie hesitated, then gave in.
Pulled me down behind a John Deere tractor. The O'Day brothers, they...
The spine-tingling saga of the O'Day brothers is a story for another time, I said. The point is, Eddie, we're having us a little exhumation party here, and you know where one of the bodies is buried. And I mean that quite literally.
Huddy and Shirley were there. They can...
Yeah, they were. George Morgan was there, too, I think.
He was, Shirley said quietly.
But so what? I still had my hand on Eddie's wrist, and I had to fight a desire to squeeze it again, hard. I liked Eddie, always had, and he could be brave, but he also had a yellow streak. I don't know how those two things can exist side by side in the same man, but they can. I've seen it more than once.